This is Open Mic Live. Let's go! Welcome to this week's episode. We have a very special guest coming. Welcome back to this week's episode of Open Mic Live. Today, I have a story for you that will make you want to pack your bags, quit your job, or at least seriously rethink your daily routine. Imagine that, walking away from a stable career, buying a van, and setting off on a journey across Europe with no fixed plan, just the open road and a sense of adventure. Sounds exciting, right? Well, that's exactly what today's guest did. Uuk, a bar-certified corporate lawyer, and Charlene, a digital resilience officer, made the bold decision to hit pause on their professional lives in Luxembourg and embark on a once-in-a-lifetime experience. But this wasn't a reckless escape. It was a well-thought-out leap into the unknown. They'll be sharing what it really takes to leave everything behind, the unexpected challenges of living in a tiny space, and the lessons they've learned along the way, as well as the magic that only happens once you step outside of your comfort zone. But here's the twist. This journey isn't about just taking off. It's also about coming back home. As their trip evolved, so did their mindsets. And now that they're back and have taken the next big step of reintegrating into life after the adventure, they'll be sharing what's next for them. How do you return without feeling like you've hit the end button on something incredible? And how do you take that sense of freedom with you into the next chapter? Get ready for an honest, inspiring, and eye-opening conversation about adventure, planning, and redefining what stability really means. Today on the podcast, I have two very dear friends of mine. Welcome, Charlene and Uuk.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
And we're going to talk today about a very big adventure that you had. And I've asked you a very long time ago if you would be willing to come and talk about it. And you're right to say yes, but let's finish it. Let's settle in back. So what you did is you decided to leave everything for 1 year, pack up, get a van, and move to Europe.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened in 2024.
So in 2024. Yeah. And let's go back a little bit in time, because actually, Uuk, this was your dream initially, right?
Yeah, that my dream or idea, you're right. My brother did it. He's a bit older than me, and he did it in Australia with a van and some friends. So I had always this idea back in my mind that when I was finishing studying and diplomas, that I wanted to take a break and travel also a bit. So when we left, I just had finished the bar exam in Luxembourg. So I had nothing retaining me here in Luxembourg except for the job. So then we met with Charlene in between, and she was also willing to go on a little adventure. So that was the perfect timing.
Exactly, exactly. And as you said, you were finishing the bar, so there was a plan behind it. And can you talk a little bit about how you decided to do this and why this was the moment in your life when you needed a break between studying, because it's very challenging to do now?
Well, yeah, it was like, so it was last year, so it was 5 years after you do like bachelor, then master, then you have the bar exam, so you it's like long studies, then you go into work directly. So if you don't take the break, everything goes so fast. You're just turning 30 and it's more difficult, I guess, to stop working and go on an adventure later. So it was really something that I wanted to do. So I was like making a point on when I finish this, I want to leave. So,
and I think that's a very important point, because sometimes you can get caught up in life. And you can say, okay, I can do this later. Now this is more important. And during this time when you were actually preparing, you got not only a companion for the trip, but also in life. That will come to later. And that's why I want to say officially welcome to Charlene.
Thank you.
So was it a no-brainer for you to join Uuk on this trip?
To be honest, kind of. Because I was in a moment in my professional life where okay, we all know how, let's say, professional life can become at some point here in Luxembourg, mm-hmm. Very time-consuming and also mentally draining. So I also, like, the moment where Hugues proposed to me to say, okay, let's go, I was like, okay, yeah, that's the moment. And actually, I never did this kind of trip like Erasmus. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to discover a bit more of Europe. So this, yeah, was kind of natural. I didn't feel any apprehension about leaving everything for a year. So yeah. That felt quite good because also I was happy to do it with Hugues, mm-hmm. and not on my own. So
yeah, definitely. And when you say you didn't have any apprehension, it means it was definitely the right time for you. But sometimes people, especially in, as you said, today's working world and this economy, they're like, are you crazy? Why would you mm-hmm. leave? Did either of you get some backlash professionally or from your families to be doing this?
A bit, yeah. But we were confident. As a lawyer in Luxembourg, I was not too afraid of finding another job because there are some jobs in corporate law.
Yeah, a few.
Yeah, and but yeah, the parents were a bit... my parents was okay because my brother did it and it mm-hmm. went well, so they didn't know how it works. But more on the side of Charlene's family, it was a bit like, well, we would have never done this, like quitting jobs and going. Mm-hmm. It's not something they would consider at the time before.
But they were not that, let's say, trying to stop us from doing it. They were really encouraging and supportive of the project, which I was actually quite surprised mm-hmm. because when we initially started the discussion of leaving for a year, I was like, okay, my parents are going to get mad. They are going to think we're crazy leaving our stable position in Luxembourg. We were financially quite comfortable. But in the end, no, people we've talked with, even though they were like, okay, we would never do this choice, they were like, you're completely right. Like, this is the moment to do it. You guys have no real attach apart from each other. Mm-hmm. So it's the moment.
Yeah.
And I guess previous generation were not used to do this a lot, like quitting jobs and go traveling. It's more what, like, the last past 20, 30 years that it's become more trendy to do like a gap year and mm-hmm. a break. So
yeah, so to say, exactly, gap year. Indeed, and I think what is very cool about it is that indeed it's an adventure, but you went into it prepared. And I want to talk a little bit more about how did you prepare logistically, because it is, I mean, when you say it in this, we got into a van and we left, but a lot went into this. Yeah. So can you talk maybe how did you find the van? What did you do? So for people who are considering it but don't mm-hmm. know where to start, so how do you start with that?
I think maybe Hugues will be able to answer better okay. in the sense that he had, let's say, more time to research.
The adventure today is that online content, you have a lot of stuff for the van itself, but also for planning the trip, where do you want to go. A lot of people does it. YouTube is full of video of people traveling, showing the itinerary, where they go. You have plenty of research to do. So on the van side, at the beginning, we were like, okay, we don't want to buy already made van. We want to do it ourselves, like do something with our hand. We did a lot of research for 3-4 months. It was like trying to get ideas on how to build it, electricity, plumbing, you know. And in the end, we just one day went to an expo where there were a van, and we bought one, like, out of the blue. We were like, we will never buy an already made van. In the end, this is the source we made. And looking afterwards, we are really thankful to have done this. Our parents were pushing us to, like, they were like, don't bother building a van, it's just too annoying, buy one. And afterwards, since it's only one gap year, if you build yourself a van, you will spend minimum 4 months. And if you do like Monday to Sunday, like really work hard, 3-4 months minimum. And so after, you just have 8 months to travel. So
indeed,
it's already 4 months that you lost just building. So it's cool to build a van. If you really, it's something that you really, really want, do it, but keep in mind that you will lost 4 months of travel, and in a year, 4 months is a lot of time. Indeed. And so in the end, the beginning, so we were supposed to leave April, May, and in the end, by February, we were already on the road in Spain and all, and we were like, well, imagine if we were building our van, we would still be at home, like, building. And we met some people on the road, and they were like, yeah, the first month is cool, you're discovering everything. Second month, oh, it's horrible, you have a lot of problem. 3 months, you just want to vomit your van, it's... there is too many problems. Mm-hmm. And after, you'll just say, okay, I'll go. It's not perfect, but live with it, you know.
Yeah.
So do your research. If you really, really want to do it, there is a lot of stuff online you can find. There are people also who can help you building it and find like homemade, but you give your idea and they build it for you. So it's not like industrial already mm-hmm. made, but it's homemade but craftsmen.
Yeah,
or just buy one already made. There is no shame, and there is a lot of comfort in already made one also. So
exactly. So pick what is right for you. Yeah. You don't have to do everything yourself.
Mm. Yes. And also maybe I would, if just to add, maybe money wise as well, because all the three options don't have the same cost. I would say that building it yourself might be at first the less costly,
mm-hmm.
but depending on what material you put inside, what time do you take as well, can become very costly. The medium one would be to buy it yourself, to buy it already made,
mm-hmm.
and the most expensive one would be to, let's say, buy the only the vehicle and ask someone to do all the furnishing and to so on.
Tailor make it for you.
Exactly. Okay. And this will be the most expensive mm-hmm. solution.
Exactly.
So it depends also on what you're willing to invest.
Yeah. But also, if I'm not mistaken, if you don't know exactly what you're doing, it could end up costing you more if you make a mistake. Yeah.
Well, after 4 months, if you have a problem of electricity or something and you don't know, you have a problem, you cannot leave because your van is not made. So you just talk, and either you pay someone and fix it, or it just costs you more time and energy to try to find a solution, rebuild it from zero, or like changing. So
indeed.
But a lot of people does it, and it usually goes fine, and you do it your van yourself is not like that complicated.
Yeah.
It also depends on what type of comfort do you want. Because us, we had like a top floor bedroom. You have 2 bedroom. There is hot shower, a shower, toilets. It depends also if you just want to have a bed and small kitchenette. Well, do it yourself. It's not that complicated. Yeah. But if you want to have the heat, the hot shower, sink and all, more the stuff you want, more comfortability you want to have,
mm-hmm.
And space also, because what's cool in already made van, they have kind of everything is optimal to space wise and mm-hmm. organization.
Yeah.
When you do it yourself, or if you want to have like convertible seats so they can turn and have more space, this is too complicated to do it yourself. So there is also this.
Indeed. Indeed. And again, what is important to you, what type of people you are? Because the first time when you told me you're going to a van, I'm like, I know surely.
Yeah.
I don't know what type of van, but I wouldn't do that. But when you told me, when I actually saw it, indeed, it's like a little home.
Yeah,
that
you can
had
have comfort.
On the road. Exactly. So there is a lot of logistical aspects that go into preparing for such a trip. And you did your research and you really laid down the different options. So thank you. I think this will be very useful for people. But how did you, Charlene, for example, prepare mentally for this? Because mm-hmm. I think to be with somebody for 1 year in a small space can come with a lot of great things and a lot of challenges. And it's not for everyone. So how did you prepare? Did you have some discussions? What did you do consciously to make sure that the trip is as you wish it to be?
Let's say that on my side, I was a bit like, I'm Aries, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm going straight into the wall and I'll deal with the consequences afterwards. But after some discussions with Hugues, I saw also his apprehension on the trip and let's say living together in only 9 square meters. So it's can be quite challenging. So after this, of course, we had discussions on basic rules, that things we would like to get better, because of course we were living together before, but maybe some stuff that you, let's say, tolerate in your apartment, you wouldn't in a nine square meter van. Mm-hmm. So yeah, setting those ground rules was, let's say, the first step to ensure that we wouldn't, let's say, go too much into conflict. Afterwards, it's more, ensuring that communication is there, and really each time you have a question, like a doubt or something, really vocalize it, exchange with your partner, because it can be scary to go into this. And as you said, I'm not, at least I was not that much of an adventurous person before. But yeah, you can get into it, and it's just a question of saying your non-negotiables, such as comfort, also the activities, because there's such many elements that you could get, mad with the other person. But yeah, I would say if there's one thing to really set is communication. Mm-hmm.
So from the beginning and then throughout.
Yeah, exactly. And after this, I would say there was no more. Yeah, as I said.
Accept also a bit more, you take more on you also a bit, because you know, mm-hmm. it's not like in an apartment, if one room is not in order, it's fine. But here in the van, you have to keep a bit in order, but still you have some, you know, it's difficult for everyone to have his space. So
yeah, compromise is
compromise, key. Yeah.
Very nice. Very good. All right, so you're prepared physically, logistically, mentally, everything, and now you're on the road. And can you both tell me one thing that was exactly how you expected it to be and one thing that really surprised you?
The one thing I was not expecting, I was expecting but I didn't have, I thought that we would meet a lot more young people or people our age, we're about 25-30, and I don't know, with this trend about traveling and all, maybe we just did we were not in the good place at the good moment, but mm-hmm. we didn't meet a lot of people. And I thought that we would more hang out outside the van, like with people and chilling. But maybe just our choice, like we were choosing maybe more some certain area, which are more, it was more retreat people on the road with the camping car mm-hmm. rather than young people in the van. And the thing that I expected and it went well, I guess it's we respected what we wanted to do, and it was to chill. The idea of the year was to go slowly, not drive too much, like 2 hours max per day, and just.
This is one thing that really surprised me. Yeah. I thought you would be driving hours per day. And actually, what you said was you drove only 45 to, like, normally 45 minutes in the day, no?
No, two hours. When there were a lot of things to see, 45, but maximum, I would say 2 hours per day, 2 hours and a half.
Apart from Morocco.
From Morocco, but which is really big. Yeah. And we regretted to have, we drove 4 or 5 hours a day, and it was like we regretted. And so we expected this, and it was fun. It was to chill. When we were in Portugal, Spain, and Morocco, chill outside the van, enjoy a sunset, and chill. So. This side was that's what you can expect a bit on social media and all this kind of exactly. chilling outside with a beer and sunset. Nice. So,
and just to give a little bit of context, what were the countries that you visited?
Yeah, so we started February, and we went south. So we followed the coast, the western coast, Spain, north of Spain, Portugal. Then we cross Tangier into Morocco. We traveled a bit around Morocco, and then we went up on the other coast of Spain, and then we headed to north, Cap North, so Luxembourg, back in Luxembourg, Germany, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Finland, and then go back Germany, Luxembourg.
Exactly. And where did you end the trip?
France, back home.
Exactly. At my
wedding.
Exactly.
At your wedding. At your wedding. In Nice, at your wedding.
Exactly. We'll talk about Cap North in a little bit again. But indeed, so Charlene, did you think of something that you expected and happened, and something that surprised you?
So I would say then the surprise, I would say the same as Uke, was the, let's say, population that we were meeting. Mm-hmm.
So because you would think you would see a lot of people like you.
Yeah, because I would say that on social media, you see so many people that do the same. And you're like, okay, we're going to have a campfire by the sea with a lot of people. We're going to have fun. Of course, we had fun, but just the two of us. Yeah. Or we were meeting like... Okay, it was very also enriching because we met people that were retired with a lot of experience that were telling us like good places to go. And it was very nice to speak with those people. But I would say that the younger population that is in a van was not very open, I would say. But maybe we weren't very open either. And it's mainly, let's say... in Morocco, where we met the most people, but other than this, it was quite quite thin on this. Mm-hmm. But it was fine as well because we were quite content with the two of us and speaking with the population when we were in some villages and so on. So it was quite fine.
And this is one thing that speaks to, you know, what you see on social media and reality, mm-hmm. that in fact, not many people dare to do this at some point in life. And would you say this is a once in a lifetime type of thing that you do?
Yeah, because afterwards you get into your everyday life and, you know, you have social expectations, get married, have kids, buy a house. And at some point you won't have, let's say, time to get into those kind of experiences. Mm-hmm. And if you do, that's amazing. But let's say to really be able to step out, take some, let's say, time to reflect on your professional life and your personal life, it's really hard when you have, in French we say, la tête dans le guidon, which is really your head into the road and you don't take time to look around, see what's happening, if there's another path that looks nice. Mm-hmm.
So you actually put your head on the road.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's more difficult when you are more adult with more responsibility to take a full gap year. Mm-hmm. But still, I'm sure it's still manageable to take a van for 2 weeks, 3 weeks and just disconnect from phones and social media and all. You can also do it. And on 2 weeks, you have plenty of time. You can go see a lot of places. You don't need to go really far, take a plane and go to really far countries. Just go travel a bit in Europe, 2 weeks in a van, and you can still enjoy a lot. Mm. And you don't have to buy a van and take a full year.
Yeah,
just rent something 2 weeks and chill.
Yeah. And would you say that doing this now gave you sort of a confidence to have the space in your mind of doing things like this, even if not for a whole year, but in the future, just to be able to take a step like this?
Yeah, because we really love the way of traveling, which is... really different than usual thing when you reserve an hotel or Airbnb and you stay at the place for 1 week and you don't move, which is also cool, but it's different here. You really have this freedom. Oh, this place is cool. Okay, we stay 1 week and we don't like. Okay, tomorrow we leave. We're just heading somewhere.
Yeah.
You don't need to reserve anything. You're just chilling a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go where the winds take you?
Yeah.
And
And it's sort of a flexibility that you're not used to normally because you have your itinerary, your bookings, everything.
Yeah.
And it's nice and it's kind of, in my opinion, like a muscle you're training to not be stuck on this plan, to be flexible, to do whatever serves you in a way, you know?
Yeah, you have to be adaptive and find solution or try. There were some cities we were not even supposed to do it. We were like, this was the beginning. I remember it was in Spain. We were supposed to follow the coast. Weather on the coast was not good. I said, okay, let's go down a bit in the, because inside the land, there were less rain, so it was better. And then we discovered Burgos, in a city in north of Spain, and we're like, wow, the city is amazing. It's beautiful. There is a beautiful cathedral there. And we're like, okay, it was in the two first weeks of the travel, maybe. And so we're like, okay, this is how we want to do it. Like, just follow the instinct at some point.
Yeah.
Just follow the rule. Just go where your heart tells you to do. And we discovered, like, these some places that we were not even supposed to see, and we really loved the places.
Very nice. Very. That, I think that's a very good takeaway from just the how you approached it. And before we start talking a little bit about coming back, what was one thing that you learned about yourselves? Maybe Charlene, you want to start.
I would say that the most important thing I, as a takeaway, I would have from this trip is sedentary life kills. the life we have, staying at home, teleworking, not going out, not having a lot of physical activity. Mm-hmm. This can really ruin not only your health, but your mental health. And this year, being always outside, looking around, being always super, having your mind always on. Mm-hmm. You know, you always have to look around, see if there's new places to visit. Just being active and having this way of thinking that being outside will help you feel way better in any situation. And I really try to apply it now.
I was going to ask, did this spill over into your life now that you're back?
Exactly. Because I didn't, I was not used to doing sports during the week. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going running during lunchtimes. I try to really walk my 10,000 steps per day to really keep active, because mm-hmm. I really see it when I don't do these, like whether go running or walk, I feel bad. And I really want to pursue this like a long term, because it's for me the best thing I take away.
Very nice. Very nice. And you, Yuk? Mm. Or you already knew everything?
Already. No, I don't know everything. But no, maybe just that you don't really need a lot of things to be happy and to enjoy your moment, because sometimes in the van or in the north, where everything is a bit expensive, and well, it was the second part of the travel, so we already beyond our savings. And but you know, you don't need to go to fancy restaurants or hotel. We were just next to the coast with the van and with the beer and enjoying a moment, visiting countries and see new things, new cultures. And so you don't really need much to enjoy and having a good moment and good holidays.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But before we really talk about coming back, you had one more thing planned during
it this was trip. Not planned in the end, at the beginning.
You maybe want to say the story yourself, if you want to share it here.
So should I start with the end or?
As you want, it's your story.
Okay, so, spoiler alert, we got engaged during the trip.
Yay!
So, it was something at the beginning. I told Charlene, don't expect anything, because you never know how it can happen in the van. Maybe in the first 2 months after living in 9 square meter, you will just hate yourself. And, you know, you never know, because it can be really difficult. There are some moments when it was like not always up, up, up. There is up and down. And as Charlene said before leaving, we were like, really, we need to talk. We need to, communication is the key if we want the travel to went good. So at the beginning, I was like, okay, let's see how the first part of the travel goes. See if everything goes fine. And so it went fine, obviously. And so when we were heading from Morocco to Cap North, we passed by France. So we were seeing both our family apart, so enjoying time in family. And when we were apart, I just take one day for me. And so I went to buy a ring and all in Paris. I have a friend there. Then the time the rings, you need to build it, to manufacture, yeah. I don't know how you say it. And this friend was supposed to meet us in Norway. So we had our little plan in place that he would get the ring for me, bringing the plane to me. So, and then so we went to Cap North. We met our friend in the Lofoten. He got me the ring and all. Then you need to find a place in a van, which is not the best place to hide, especially when you go hiking for 7 hours a day. And you're like, if someone goes in the van and find the ring, I'm just dead, you know. But still, it's fine. And then after, you just you find a moment when at the beginning I wanted to do it under Northern Light, but I realized that it happened in night and it's not the best moment because it's like freezing outside. And then so I waited to be in Cap North, and we were really lucky because usually in Cap North the weather is like really cloudy and all, you don't see much. And the day we were, it was like blue sky, sunset. So cannot imagine. Yeah, it couldn't be better.
Wow. And what did you say, Charlene?
I said yes.
Yes. This is what I told you when you told me that if you survived 1 year in the van together, there is not much more. But really, congratulations. And I'm Thank so you. Happy. And actually, your wedding is not far. So maybe you'll come back after to talk about that on the podcast. But during every vacation, sometimes there is a moment when you start thinking about coming back and planning and just thinking about your daily life. What was that moment for you, and how did you start preparing to come back and not be out of nowhere?
Well, on my side, I'm really like to have things planned and all ahead. So when we were going back from Cap North and going down to Sweden after to Finland, it was already in our mind, okay, it was like September 1st, we're in Cap North, so I would say it was already the end of the trip. We knew that most of it was behind us and that it was going back. And since I like to plan ahead and all, we were already looking for jobs, applying, we did some online interviews. And after your mind, yeah, you just disconnect. When you start to do interviews and all, you know, you're checking your phone like every 5 minutes, 10 minutes, did I get an interview answered or anything? So the travel from that moment was different because we were not able to enjoy as much as we did, and we were really like, we need to find a place. Where do you want to live? Because there is also this problem in Luxembourg. Do we want to live in the city? Do we want to live outside?
Did you want to remain in Luxembourg?
Yeah, because we want to remain in Luxembourg. Yeah.
I was very happy when you told me. So this was a very important. I was checking my phone. Are they staying in Luxembourg or not?
So there were a lot of questions. We were studying all the possibilities, living in borders, Luxembourg, other. So, yeah, from this moment, it was not the same. It was not like a thought of, like before, thought of Europe when it was like just chill, nothing planned tomorrow, we don't care. Mm-hmm. As from this moment, for me, it was really different.
So it's good to know when this moment will start, because when it starts, it will be different.
Yeah.
Basically, to not defer it as long as possible, but to know when it will start, and until then, don't do these steps, only after, because it will be not bad, but different, right?
And if you're not in a rush to find a job, I mean, we could have waited and say, okay, we start researching. I have some friend also who did traveling in a backpack more around the world, but they started to find job only when they were already back in town. Mm-hmm. So you can enjoy full, it's just that after the transition period, it might be a bit longer. So we both wanted to start as January, so, and find a job before, find the apartment. So you need to take it 2-3 months before. So it was like October, November, we were already...
You're already starting.
Starting.
Exactly. And now you're both back, you have jobs, and life is as before, but a bit different, no?
Yeah, no, indeed. So we both started our new jobs in January. Of course, the come back to work was a bit complicated the first week.
How so?
In the sense that you're getting back into a routine, which is something we didn't have. Of course, we were missing it, so we were very happy to have it back. But it's just the time to get back to it, get up at a certain time in the morning, stay behind the office for the whole day. And then come back home, do your chores, and so on. So the first weeks were a bit complicated. But afterwards, once we got into this specific routine, got to see our friends back, which was really good. And I think that's what
we were missing a lot.
Yeah, we were missing this from the trip. If there's one thing that could have made it even better, would have been to have our friends with us during this trip. But yeah, after this, really, the life is coming back to normal. We're quite we're fully installed, and we had our housewarming. So yeah, we're installed in Luxembourg now.
Wonderful. Thank you guys so much for being here. Maybe some last words, some advice for people who want to take an adventure, who are considering it.
Just do it.
Do it.
Unless there were, you have really, really several, no reasons, but if, I don't know, if just the fear of finding a job or not being sure of something, just you will find, you will manage. Mm. Don't be afraid. And
don't hesitate to also push a bit outside your comfort zone, because and also push your partner outside of their comfort zone. That's what you did, and I'm very glad he did, because I don't regret it. And I think it's better doing it and have a few things you would change than completely regretting not going.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here. I hope you come back. I hope you had a nice experience.
Thank you for the host. Yeah, wonderful.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. And see you very soon.
Yeah,
see you.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. See you next week on Open Mic Live.